Welcome to Shir Marav Gurariyeh, Parshas Pinchas. You know that towards the end of Parshas Pinchas, the Torah introduces the descriptions of the various musafim, the karbonos musaf that were brought on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and the various Yom Tovim. So the Parshas of Rosh Chodesh, it says, Perek Chof Ches, Chosik Teslov, Sir Izim Echad L'chakos L'Hashem, you should bring as part of the karbon musaf a goat, which will serve as a chatas for Hashem, serve as a sin offering for Hashem. So, Midrashu Ba'agada, after Rashi writes, after giving a straightforward chat interpretation for why it says chatas for Hashem, most of the time when it refers to the goat, which was brought as a carbon chatas as part of the carbonus musaf, it just says it was brought as a chatas. It doesn't say chatas for Hashem. Midrashu Ba'agada, the midrashic interpretation says Rashi is as follows: Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Haviu Kapara Olai Al Shemiatati Es Hayoreach. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, please bring a carbon chatos, literally to atone for me, because I diminish the size of the moon. In other words, the simple interpretation seems to be chatos l'Hashem, not simply that it's a carbon chatos offered to Hashem, but kiryachol, as it were, it's a carbon chatos offered up on behalf of Hashem. In other words, Hashem made the moon smaller. You know, the famous Gemara in Chulin that speaks about how originally the sun and the moon were made the same size, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu diminished the size of the moon. That's why the moon waxes and wanes throughout the course of the month. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I feel bad that I did that, or somehow it was wrong that I did that. So bring the carbon chatos every Rosh Chodesh to be mechaper, to atone for me, because I diminished the size of the moon. Right off the bat, even before we see the morale on this, we're troubled by what seems to be the implication of the Medrash. What do you mean, bring a carbon to be mechaper for Hashem? I mean, part of our basic understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. That's part of what it means to be God. So the notion of bringing a carbon to atone for something that Hashem did, it's almost as if, you know, we can't even say the words. I mean, what does it mean to atone for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Maral Miriam Gurari has a long arichos. He discusses this at length. I'm going to try to telescope the discussion tonight to just pick out certain aspects of how the Maral deals with this. But certain things that he says over here are not just relevant for this specific interpretation of Chazal, but he speaks a lot about how we're supposed to understand Midrashim in general. So I just want to, you know, read some of that in particular. Says the Maral, Rabbim hen min hamasmiim al divrei chachamim bazeh. There are many, many people who are astonished at the words of Chazal in this regard. Again, how can you talk about bringing a kapara for HaKadosh Baruch Hu under any circumstances? Until we see that the Ritz, the great Ritz, explains, Shirat Saloma Havi Lufana Kapara Lechaper Alechem Kidei Tishashlimu Alai Kapara Zo. And he akhovot she'omarti la'asos lo uvozeh nishyash v'dayto. Right? So the Ritz interprets this Medrash of Chazal as follows. Bring a kapara, not for Hashem. I mean, again, how can you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow sinned and, you know, needs a kapara, needs an atonement? When it says bring a series of l'chatos, when it says bring a goat as a carbon chatos, as part of the carbon musaf, it means l'chater aleichem. It's going to be a way of atoning for Klal Yisrael. However, since, says the Ritz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, since I link this kapara for Klal Yisrael to the Levana, to the Hishashus HaLevana, to the renewal of the month, of the moon every month, so in a sense that gives a certain cover to the moon. I mean, after all, the kapara of Klal Yisrael is dependent now upon the renewal of the moon. So in a certain sense, it makes up for that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to the moon in the beginning of time. Again, it's not that we're apologizing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to apologize for having diminished the size of the moon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did what was right. But, you know, even when you do what's right, feelings can get hurt. So to assuage the feelings of the moon, he said, you know what, I'll make it up to you. Klal Yisrael is going to bring a kapara for themselves. Every Rosh Chodesh, so their kapara is going to be tied to you, O moon. Mefarish Huzal, ki olai, Rosh Salomar bishvili. In other words, when Rashi brings to Chazal, Haviu kapara olai, bring an atonement, olai. Olai doesn't mean for me that somehow I did something wrong, that somehow Kodesh Baruch Hu did something wrong, which means kapara. But Haviu kapara bishvili, in other words, I am commanding that this kapara be brought. The kapara should be brought for Klal Yisrael. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands it specifically on the occasion of the renewal of the moon feels better as a result. See HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael v'havi korban kapara al Yisrael v'kavod l'lavana v'zeh mitzvat mityash v'daita. So that's the risk interpretation. The nachon hu pirush zeh l'hashiv l'shel avin. Says the Maharal, the misinterpretation is fine as a way of, you know, responding to those who otherwise would be incredibly bothered and perturbed by this Maimer Chazal that seems to, on some level, attribute sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Okay, so there is reinterpreted in such a way so we don't have that problem. However, continues, just skipping a little bit, however, I have to say, says the Maharal, there's more here than meets the eye. You know, even though the Rish interpretation is good and correct, we can go deeper than what the Rish said. So the Maharal then goes on to quote the Gemara in Chulin, Samach on the days where the famous Maimer Chazal regarding the creation and the diminishing of the moon is related. Of course, we know in Chumash it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first creates the sun and the moon, he creates Shnei HaMa'oris HaGedolim, the two great luminaries, and then all of a sudden it becomes Amar HaGadol and Amar HaKatan, the big luminary and the small luminary. They originally created equal. The moon went and complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Shnei Malachim Shtam Shem B'Keserecha, it's not right to have two kings utilizing the same crown. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're right, you should be the same size, you should be smaller, right? And again, we know that's related over there in the Gemara and Chulin. So the Maharal spends some time explaining at length what that story is all about. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt compelled to diminish the moon? Was it just, you know, sort of a tit-for-tat reaction? Oh, you complain? So now I'm going to diminish you? Or was there something deeper going on? You can imagine the answer is there something deeper going on. So now I'll spend some time explaining that. So I'm going to leave that alone because that goes on for a couple of pages. And again, it's not directly related to the discussion in Rashi. Coming back to the discussion in Rashi, Havio Alai Kapara, that's the Maharal as follows. Dalecha, Kishen Kapara B'Lashon Chachamim, Eino Kimo Shehu B'Lashon Hamoni. The way Chazal, or for that matter, the Tanakh, uses the term Kapara, it doesn't mean the same thing as the way it's used, you know, by the masses. Kiloshon Kapara B'Lashon Hamoni, Al Cheshech Hata. The average person, if you ask them to define the word kapara, so kapara means an atonement. So atonement, by definition, means that there was a sin. Right? So in other words, by definition, the usage of the word kapara implies that somebody messed up, somebody sinned over here. V'asa davar shelo hayelo la'asos, the person in question did something wrong that he shouldn't have done. U'mischaret al-chet shelo, he regrets having sinned. Maybe kapara l'chadel chadel. And he brings this kapara, this atonement, in order to somehow atone for the sin. So for these people, you know, the conventional understanding of the term kapara, so kapara means an atonement. So he's talking chasid shalom lona, shukar kapara masov. Right? And that's why it's so astonishing when you look at a Lashon, like the Lashon which is preserved in Rashi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bring a kapara for me, bring a kapara for me, bring an atonement for me. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something wrong, you know, it's, again, it's an astonishing sort of thing. So, another source of their confusion is Bishvil Shehem Svurim Ki HaKarbon Shemedi HaAdam L'Chatos U'Kmo Dorom Shemedi HaShem Yisbarach. They also understand a carbon chatos as being a sort of bribe, as one, as it were, a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to entice HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive the sin. In other words, that's, you know, you ask the average person, what's the purpose of a carbon chatos? So it's a gift to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll give you HaKadosh Baruch Hu this carbon chatos, so in return, you know, you'll wipe away the sin. That's how they understand. And if you think about that, that makes this whole statement of Chazal very confusing, because the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking a carbon to be brought for himself, it's hard enough to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something wrong which somehow needs a kapara. That itself is a difficult concept to wrap one's mind around. But what's the response? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because I need a kapara, bring me a karbon. Bring me a karbon? How is bringing me a karbon going to bring about a kapara? If you sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a karbon, I can understand that, you know, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is enticed, as it were, to be mechater for the person. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who did something wrong to Yaakov, so then how is he going to achieve kapara by having someone else bring a karbon for him? The whole thing is difficult to understand from beginning to end. So when the average person says to Maral, looks at a Maimon Chazal like this one, there are two types of reactions that you can have. Well, clearly the Maimon Chazal is just so difficult to understand. The Chachmei Lev Rachav Kichol Hayom Hasak V'Gaiva Ubus. One group of people looks at a Maimer Chazal like this one, and they say, Rachmana Litzlan, the words of Chazal don't make any sense. And the words of the Maral, they speak about the Tzadikim, Chachmei Zichronim Livracha, the foundations of the world, wise men whose wisdom was as vast as the sand of the sea. They say they're disparaging about the words of Chazal. Behem Kalei Olam, these people are the biggest fools in the world, says the Maral. Yidavu Ba'asman Shehem Chachamim, they think they're smart. Behem Rechonim, they call Chachma Umazo, but really they don't know anything. Right? So one reaction to a strange Maimer Chazal like this one is to, you know, sort of be dismissive, Chalila, of Chazal. And that says the Maral, that's clearly a terrible reaction. Hakaf Hasheni, a second group of people, so they see a difficult Chazal like this one, they give all kinds of different interpretations. And as it were, says the Maral, they're trying to row desperately to get the ship back to shore. In other words, this ship, this Maimer Chazal, seems so far away from shore, from any kind of understanding, and they are trying to give all kinds of twisted, convoluted interpretations to bring the boat back to shore. Unfortunately, these people, with all of their twisted interpretations, are still out in the middle of the sea with this boat. So Yuklu would say, they can't get out of the ocean. Because the interpretations they give are just not satisfactory. You know, you can give a crazy, far-fetched interpretation of a minor Chazal, but it doesn't mean that it's right. And you know, Chazal say, Yikarim Divrei Emes, you can tell when something's right, you can tell when something is just totally off base. But there's a Maral, some of the interpretations that are given, the statements of Chazal like this one, it's just, they missed the mark, they totally missed the boat. The Shnei Kitos Elu Ani Oshiv. So I'm going to write what I'm going to write, says the Maral, to address both of these groups of people. Both those who totally dismiss the words of Chazal, that's silly, it doesn't make any sense, as well as those who are giving all kinds of convoluted interpretations. Let me give you what the interpretation, what it really means, says the Maral.
Ein Sofek, Kiloshen Kapara, Veloshen Siluk, Vekinuach Vekapara.
First of all, you have to understand that the word Kapara, although we use it in terms of atonement, it also means washing something away, wiping something away, or removing something. Right? Kiloshen Achapra Ponos. Right, when Esau is coming out to beat Yaakov, so Yaakov says, let me send him gifts, because Ulai hachatra ponos, I will be mechater his face. What do you mean I'll be mechater his face? Right, so Rashi writes over there in Bereishis, avatel rogzo, I will cause his anger to disappear. Meaning the whole lashon of kapara, says Rashi, means to wipe something away, to make something disappear, make something go away. What's that? Right. So it could be the cap, you know, that it's not simply wiping something away, but covering something up. Right. He's not going to focus on that. He's going to focus on the idea of wiping it away entirely, which is actually a greater removal than just putting something on top of it. What's that? It doesn't necessarily refer, the word kapara doesn't necessarily refer only to atoning a sin. Kiloshen zeh, huloshen kloli. L'chol kiduach l'chapara v'siluk. Any removal of something, any wiping away of something, can be referred to as kapara. V'chein loshen chatos, en ikar loshen mishachata ilav yisbar sh'avad dvarav. The word chatos, which we generally translate as sin, is also a little bit of a mistranslation. Chatos doesn't mean sin exclusively. It can mean sin. But he says, ki loshen chet perusho chisaron. Right? The loshen chet or chatos just means something is missing, something is lacking. Right? Kidiksiv, as it says, when Yaakov Avinu speaks to Lavan about the way in which he washed the sheep of Lavan, anochi achateno miyodi tivakshena. Right? I will make sure that any losses and the sheep are going to be filled in. Again, that's not necessarily saying that if one of the sheep gets lost, that Yaakov is at fault, right? I mean, very often things can happen in the flock that are beyond the control of the shepherd, and the shepherd wouldn't necessarily be liable. Right? We know that a shomer is not always going to be liable for anything that happens. Something happens to Ones, you know, beyond his control, so he's not going to be held responsible. But Anochi Achaseno, but you know, I'm going to make up the loss, says Yaakov Avinu to Lavan. So in other words, the word chet or chatos means a void or a loss. The word kapara means to move something away. Once we've redefined kapara and chet, we can now, says the Maral, begin to understand what Chazal was talking about when they spoke of a carbon chatos lashem, kapara al shemi atitiyas hayoreach. So he writes as follows. Generally, when a person is described as bringing a carbon, it means that the carbon comes to address the void which was created by the sin that the person performed. The im So coming back to our context, when the Rabbanu Shalom says, the goat which you'll bring as a carbon chatos on Rosh Chodesh will be a kapara for me, peirusho shusiluk v'kinuach ha-ta'aromesh Yisrael ha-yoreach. It doesn't mean chalila that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sinned. However, the moon had tainas to the Rabbanu Shalom, as is clear from the story in the fact of Chulin. So says the Rabbanu Shalom, if you bring this carbon chatos every Rosh Chodesh, it will wipe away whatever kindness, whatever complaints the moon had against me in the aftermath of that incident. It's a kapara, not in the sense of atoning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a kapara in the sense of removing any complaint that the moon could possibly have. The chen lashon chatos, the very lashon chatos, right, is the carbon chatos. So we say, oh, carbon chatos is a sin offering. It's not a sin offering. Ki atarumes hu chisara. Shein roish yekam tarumes. That's the fact that the moon was unhappy is in itself not a sin, but a void. It means that something is missing. In other words, creation shouldn't have one of its members being, so to speak, upset at the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? It's supposed to be that all of the members of creation are happy with the state of affairs in the world. If the moon is, so to speak, upset with the Ribbono Shel Olam, it means that there's a void somewhere out there in creation that needs to be addressed. There's a chatos, there's a void, there's something missing that has to somehow be filled in. The imkin ha-karbon, the salik ha-tisarom, right? The karbon is going to do away with this void, with this thing that's missing. K'mo shehu b'chol chatos, shenikra chatos shumachakar m'salik ha-tisarom, right? It's not that this is atoning for a sin, but the karbon chatos is going to somehow correct that which, you know, the moon perceives as out of place, as being incorrect, by virtue of the fact that the moon was diminished in some way. The indover zeh kosher lohem. If you ask as follows, ma inyan hakarbon shiyei kapara v'siluk with haromes hayoreach? Maybe you'll ask me as follows, as the Maharal. How can the karbon that's brought on Rosh Chodesh somehow wipe away the complaints of the moon? Good. Okay, so we're going to bring the karbon on Rosh Chodesh. Why is the moon going to be happy with that? So is there no kosher? Not a question. Ki akrovis ha-karbon l'Hashem kidosha l'yom shi'esh bol karbon. Shlo yimotzei b'shar yimei chol shemediyin karbon. The fact that a carbon is brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a carbon musaf, is brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a certain day, marks that day as being holy, as being special. V'chi ein zedover nichbod, shehukva v'chidusha carbon miyuchod, mara zeh al kidusha el yonah sheyesh v'chidusha, uvar hiskir Hashem yitzborach ma shem yeit osa. Says the Mara, what Chazal is trying to convey, is the following idea. The moon, however you're going to understand this, the moon feels hurt that its light was diminished. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll make it up to you. I'll make the day on which you start reappearing and you start waxing into a very special day. I'm going to make it Rosh Chodesh. And I'm going to give it Kiddusha. And in fact, it comes out that there's more Kedusha associated with the moon than there is associated with the sun. In other words, the movements of the sun don't have to do with carbonos. They don't generate Kedusha generally. What's that? Yeah, okay. I hear. But the whole calendar system, you know, starting from Rosh Chodesh and the Yom Tovim, is really a function of the moon. So says the Ribbono Shel Olam to the moon, you may have had this experience of being diminished, of waxing and waning, but if anything, I'm going to give you in response a certain type of kedusha that's unique to the moon, which generates kedusha and generates Yom Tovim. The carbon is the sign of that kedusha, the bringing of the carbon on Rosh Chodesh is a sign of the fact that Rosh Chodesh has kedusha, that this kedusha brought about by the waxing of the moon, so that the bringing of the carbon represents a kapara, a dismissal of the chatos, of the void which was created, the void which was felt because of what happened with the moon. That's Hagiu Alai Kapara. Again, not that Chas v'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu sinned and needs atonement, but do something which will dismiss whatever complaints the moon has and bring things back to their proper sense of balance. Uva hitzki Hashem yisparach mashemi eit osa. Right? That's the sense in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that which he diminished the moon. V'nei karbon zeh yesh lomar alav shu kapara l'Hashem chakos l'Hashem. It's perfectly appropriate to say that such a karbon is a kapara for Hashem to fill the chakos l'Hashem. Avo ein zeh mitzvah Hashem yisparach, but that's not to say that Chalila God sinned. God did everything in the correct way. Just in terms of the moon, in a very, very narrow sense, it's called filling the void that was left when the moon was upset by what happened. Those who are astonished or look askance at the words of our Chachamim can find some kind of solace or understanding in this, in the deeper understanding of what Kapara and Chachos mean, and hence a better understanding of what the Maimon Chazal itself, means in this context. So here's the Mara. V'zeh shetiknu si'irei Chachos l'chapir v'adam l'chulam hayu shuas nafsham yad someh. There's a line in the carbon musaf, in the tefillas musaf of Rosh Chodesh, which is interesting. The Maral quotes a slightly different version of the line than the way we say it. He brings Sirei Chatos with Hapir Ba'adam. There are karbanos chatos of goats which were brought on Rosh Chodesh as a kaparo. L'chulam hayu tshuas nafsham yad someh. For all of them, these karbanos were a salvation from the hands of the enemy. That's not exactly the way we say it. We say, Sir Hatas Lakati Badam, Zikaram Lakulam Yihiyu, Ushuas Nashram Yad Sone. Right? So he doesn't have the word Zikaram, and he changes Yihiyu to Hayu, which, by the way, is the change also was suggested by the Vilna Gaon. I mean, the Vilna Gaon points out that we're talking about the karbanos that were in the Beit HaMikdash. So the past tense, Hayu, is really more appropriate. Zikaron l'kulam hayu u'tshuas nashram yad someh. Right? Our nusach is a little bit harder to understand. Zikaron l'kulam yiyu. Again, you can say he's talking about the future based on this, but why talk about what's going to be when, it already was at a certain point in our history. So the karbanos musaf are described as tshuas nashram yad someh, saving their lives from the hand of the enemy. Who exactly is this enemy? What are we talking about? Hasone hu hasatan hu malach hamodes shuheder hanim tzoi. The sone, the enemy mentioned in the tefillah of Musaf, is the satan and the malach hamodes, the one who is ultimately going to be the death of all of us. That's the malach hamodes' job, right? He's going to be the death of all of us. So the karbanos Musaf of Rosh Chodesh says the tefillah is shuas nasha miyad sone, it saves our souls from the malach hamavis. What on earth does that mean? If we bring karbanos musaf of the shodesh, we're not going to die? I mean, that doesn't seem to be empirically true. What does this mean? So explains the Maral, hasher hem dveikim v'miras tuvo, v'mashuhu mechadei sha'or, Yosu min hamiyus shayin nimshach l'chol hanimtsoyin miyus v'hedeh v'zeh asmo hu kapora al Hashem v'shalom ha-siluk har-omes ha-yoreach sh'mitchila yidei miyus ha-or ha-yudveikim hanimtsoyin v'midah zos ma'ashe hu m'mayit or ha-yoreach v'zeh v'asmo tfunas ha-yoreach v'kasher hanimtsoyin dveikim v'midah stuvo sh'umahave u'mechadesh or Kasher makriv in karbon berosh chodesh, oz mekablum an nisoy minenu mimidas tuvo mashu mechadesh ra'or. V'kach, hu yisparach dovek bohem ito. We'll start explaining a little bit, and then we'll have to explain the rest after Ma'irah. After Ma'irah, what made the moon so upset? You learn the story as a 5-year-old, the moon was upset because we all be upset, I used to be big and now I'm small, I used to always have light and now, my light is diminished. Says the Maharal, no, that's not what it's all about. That's overly simplistic. What the moon had this petty machlokas with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says the Maharal as follows: the light of the moon is symbolic of the light and the sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the inhabitants of this world feel that they have. The Miyas Halavana, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu diminished the light of the moon, had a trickle-down effect to people in the world. And they felt less of a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the moon to the Ribbono Shel Olam, do you really want to do that to everybody? Do you really want to create this state of affairs where people feel distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says Hashem in response, I'm going to bring a great Kedusha into the world to compensate when the Yoreach is reborn every month. When the moon reappears every Rosh Chodesh, that's going to bring a tremendous degree of Kedusha into the world, of a sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, and that's going to compensate for the darkness which we feel during much of the rest of the month as the moon begins to wane. That's Shuas Nafsho Miyasone, the carbon. Carbon, after all, expresses the idea of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The carbon, the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saves us from the Sone, from the Malach HaMavis, from the sense of being detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't save us from death in a physical sense, but it saves us from a sense of being spiritually removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the carbon musaf ultimately is able to do. We'll pick up with a little bit more after Meir says Hashem. You're welcome to the second half of the Shia Maral Gurayeh Parshas Pinchas. Again, just to kind of close off the discussion from before, we saw Rashi bring some Chazal that the carbon chatos of Rosh Chodesh is called chatos Lashem. The other carbonos chatos is just called chatos. This is a chatos Lashem. In what sense is a chatos Lashem? So Rashi brings some Chazal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as it were, Havio alai kapah shemi'atati yisayoreah. Bring for me an atonement. So it's usually translated, because I diminished the moon. Of course, it's an astounding statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a kapara. So the Maral explains, kapara just means to remove something. It doesn't necessarily mean to atone for something. Chatos just means that there's something missing, a void. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu diminished the moon, so that had an effect on the world. You know, the light of the moon represented a certain sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The diminishing of the light of the moon represented a diminishing of that light, and that's why the moon complained to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how can you diminish me? Forget about me. The moon wasn't just acting out of self-interest. The moon was asking on behalf of the world at large. The creation of more darkness and less light has a spiritual impact on the world as a whole. So how can the Ribbono Shel Olam allow that? Answers the Ribbono Shel Olam, when the moon light is restored every Rosh Chodesh, I'm going to allow a surplus of Kedusha and Dveikus to come into the world, and everyone's going to feel that, and you know, that's going to balance the diminishing of the light and the diminishing of the Dveikus which had existed prior to that. So in other words, this is going to offset it. In that sense, it's a kapara. It's not an atonement. Because Baruch didn't do anything wrong, chas v'shalom, but it's a removal of that complaint that the moon had, and it's an addressing of the chatos, of the void, of that which was missing when the Ribbono Shel Olam diminished the moon. And that's, you know, the Maral went on to explain when we say in the Tfilas Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, Shuas Nashom Yatsone, that the carbon of Musaf of Rosh Chodesh saves us from the hands of the enemy. The enemy is the Malach HaMavis, the one who wants to keep us from being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yitzhahara, the Satan, the Malach HaMavis, all the same thing. He wants to keep us from being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Karban Musaf allows us to regain a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu despite the darkness that's involved with the waning of the moon. It allows us to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as, you know, once again. That's the special Kedusha and the power that Rosh Chodesh has. Just 2 points in conclusion. So first of all, writes the Maral, Ahogav Shibizman Shekharev HaBayis in Kan Karbon, you'll say that's fine when there's a Beis HaMikdash and there's a Karbon that allows us to draw back close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but now we don't have a Karbon. So the moon's tainas should go back into place. So the moon should come back and say, okay, now what? Now how are you going to make up for the fact that my light has been diminished? So the Maharal responds with the famous statement of Chazal that when we read the tashios of the Karbanos, or I guess we daven the tfilos that are connected to the Karbanos, it's as if we brought the Karbanos themselves. So, you know, even though we don't have the actual bringing of a Karban Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, we nonetheless still have, you know, the remnant of that, even this man has that. Right? So, Ustamosh should see there who bebri omidus ayoreyach, kach tikin ach besar besedra Karban. When we read about the Karban, it rectifies the fact of the void that was left with the diminishing of the light of the moon. Behu nikra chatos as lashem. And in that sense, it's a chatos lashem shehu amochets, behu arose. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the problem, but he also solves the problem. He diminished the light of the moon, but he gives us the tikkun in order to correct all of that. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right. This was called the Spanish. Yeah, very, very nice. Right. 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 Very, very nice. Very, very nice. Yeshikaya. Okay. That's just one point. You know, even this not a korban, this idea is still true. It's baruch amitas pirush is there. So you see, says the Maharal, the truth of what I'm telling you. In other words, that the Maimer Chazal is not some kind of strange statement. You know, it's not some kind of semi-heretical statement, certainly, about God sinning and eating a kapara. What does that mean? But now you understand what the words of Chazal mean. But don't think, says the Maharal, that we just explained the idea in its full depth. Because it's not really possible to fully explain what's going on over here. You just have to go deeper and deeper in incredible wisdom, and this is not the right place to be able to do that, says the Maharal. Right? So, you know, even after going into this very deep, and again, even here in the Shir, we just read a fraction of the Maharal runs on for a couple of pages, you know, this is just really a fraction of what he has to say on the topic. You should know the Maharal, there's a lot more here than even what I shared with you. But, you know, you should understand that there's something, you know, wise over here. Roy Shia Netach Tanayim Shosarem Kishulek Teira. Hashir Yodhiro Azam Asher Amanu Lamalo. But I really wanted to say all of this, as the Maharal, in order that those people who mock the words of Chazal should have their faces go black like the bottom of a pot, you know, that's on the stove. In other words, let nobody say that Chazal didn't know what they were talking about or didn't understand or anything like that. Chazal knew what they were talking about, says the Maharal. They knew a lot better than anyone who questions Chazal what they were talking about. Enlighten our eyes with the light of Torah. May he bring us to the words of his Nevi'im, and may he make us wise with the Chachmah of his Chacham. One of the things the Maharal is insistent upon is protecting the cover of Chazal, and protecting the image of Chazal. And nobody should think, Chas v'Shalom, that Chazal was somehow lacking in or deficient in their understanding. If there's a minor Chazal that you don't understand, it's that you don't understand. But it's not that, you know, Chazal somehow were lacking in their ability to convey something true and beautiful and whatnot. It's a lack of understanding in us. And the Maharal, you know, I think is Maharal so much with this particular Maimar, because on the one hand it so lends itself to scoffers laughing at Chazal, but on the other hand it's an opportunity for the Maharal to convey what he sees as being the truth and the depth of this Maimar Chazal, and by extension the truth and depth
of the words of Chazal in general. Okay, we'll pick up Ezra Hashem next Wednesday night with Parshas Matos Nasa, and we said we want to get started.